Hello and welcome to the Dancecast, where I explore dance as an art form, traveling to non-traditional places and with non-traditional doers. I'm your host and my name is Silva Lakkonen. Hi and welcome to Dancecast episode 28. I had the absolute privilege and joy to be part of Dancing Wheel Summer Intensive for the last week in Cleveland, Ohio. It was such a wonderful, inspiring week to see how well thought and skilled ballet and contemporary integrated dance was taught and danced. It was really a lovely, lovely experience. So if you ever want to get a good experience of how to do integrated ballet and contemporary, you should go and check them out. Dancing Wheels in Cleveland. And at the same time, I had a chance to talk to one of the company members about her work and about her life within the art field as a disabled person. So this episode is with Meredith Elia Wells, who is a musical theater artist, writer, and YouTube content creator from Massachusetts. Most notably, she performed her original one-woman musical, Dysfunctioning Just Fine, at the My True Colors Festival in New York City, where she received the 2017 Purple Skies Playwright Award. Meredith just finished her first season with the Dancing Wheels Dance Company, a physically integrated touring repertory company based in Cleveland, Ohio. Now she plans on going freelance as a dancer in addition to pursuing more musical theater opportunities. Meredith graduated from University of Massachusetts Amherst, where she created her own bachelor's degree with individualized concentration in musical theater. She hopes to continue to use the arts as a platform to spread awareness and help dysautonomia patients and other members of the differently abled community. Hey Nila.
Mitä?
Would you like to hear more about Meredith?
Okay.
I hope you and Nila enjoy this episode.
I grew up in Bridgewater, Massachusetts, which is on the South Shore. And then my dad lives in, well, later in my life, my dad moved there. He didn't always live there. But my dad lives in central Massachusetts. I spent a lot of time there. And then I moved from Amherst, Massachusetts, which is Western Mass, so. I've been all over Massachusetts, is what I'm trying to say.
So, and you're now a Dancing Wheels dancer.
Yeah.
This is your first?
It's my first year. So technically, I'm finishing up my year as an apprentice.
Oh, you were an apprentice?
Technically, yeah.
Okay. And how did you end up here in Cleveland?
So my senior year of college, I was doing research on the presence of disability within dance and essentially the lack thereof. And through that, I discovered Dancing Wheels, and I think I can't remember, but somehow I was following them in some way on social media or something like that, and I heard that they were auditioning, so I just figured, why not? And I auditioned, and I got the job, and ended up being the job I wanted to take out of my offerings.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you started dancing? Well, obviously you were dancing before,
because
dance and disability were something that interests you. How did that happen?
When did I start dancing?
Mm-hmm.
I've been dancing. I danced a lot when I was really young, and I took a big break, and then I found musical theater, and musical theater was and still is my passion, and in that
it's hard. You know, actually, Adam Benjamin told me that Adam is who co-founded Kandigo Dance Company in England, and I asked him when did he start dancing, and he was like, I think the better question is like, when do you stop dancing? Like, when does come the point of like stop, and then I guess you find it again. So
yeah, I was dancing and then I wasn't for a while, and then I found musical theater and I was dancing in the musical theater context for a while, and a lot of what I did was only in that until probably about my junior or senior year of high school. That's when I kind of started really making sure I had a good foundation dance for musical theater, and then I went to school for it, and about a month into me starting college, I got really sick with an autonomic disorder called POTS, which stands for Postural Orthostatic Tachycardia Syndrome.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
And I spent about a year getting a diagnosis, and around the time that I got the diagnosis was also when I was getting to the point where it made more sense for me to use a wheelchair when I was outside of the house and when I needed it. Some days I need it more than others, but that's when I started using the wheelchair. And I didn't really take any dance classes that semester. I didn't really know if I was going to be performing. I didn't change my major or anything because I knew that I wanted to still be in theater, maybe just in a different role than I had originally thought. You know, I thought maybe I would be a director or I would be a costume designer. But after taking directing and taking some of the things and even just getting a taste of like getting one call back after not getting one so long, it just like reminded me like, no, like you are performing. You may be those other things, but you are first and foremost a performer. And at that point I got myself back into dance classes, and the way that it worked where I went to school, it was I did like a create your own major sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I switched my major from theater to musical theater, which I had created, but there wasn't a musical theater program at my school. So the music, the acting, and the theater and the dancing were three separate departments, which is good and bad. And what I do feel like I really got out of it was that it made me have to work harder in the areas of voice and dance, because when I was in a dance class, I wasn't with a bunch of theater people who would consider themselves movers and were all doing it together. It's like I had to be at the standard of someone who's only solely studying dance. And I think that made me work a lot harder, which was really good. And then, yeah, from there.
And did you start doing classes in your wheelchair?
Yeah.
How was the dance department? How did they react to that?
So, when I...
What was the like?
Yeah, so I started by talking to someone in the dance department of my school, one of the professors. And I was talking to him about, I'd really like to take maybe private lessons and with somebody, because I don't want to like hold a class up right now, and like I'm definitely not at the level in my chair, and you know, taking maybe like some private lessons. So I took private lessons for a semester, and then the semester after that, he was like, any dance class you want to take, like I'll sign the form. And so from there, he recommended that I take improv. He's like, I think it will give you a really good base for everything else that you want to take. And so I guess I got really lucky. I know that like a lot of people, it's not always that way, where especially in a college environment, just being so adaptive and being so open-minded to it, I should
say.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I got lucky because the person that I talked to worked with Huntington's disease patients. So he had like a little bit of background, not necessarily people like in wheelchairs, mm-hmm. but he had a little bit of a background to know that it was going to benefit me, even if it wasn't, you know, propelling me forward in my career. He just thought there was so much good that it could do as far as, you know, taking care of and conditioning my body and things like that. So I got lucky that he was like, yes, I'm going to help you like get back to where you were when you were taking classes with us before you were in a wheelchair. And so, yeah, I really had a good support system over there. And
And once, where did you go?
I went to UMass Amherst in Massachusetts.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really good to know, because I think I often hear more of the, like, the nightmare stories of, like...
Yeah.
Like, there was...
I've definitely heard nightmare stories yeah. from other people that I know in wheelchairs. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, your department sounds very amazing.
Yeah, I came from a really liberal and progressive area in Massachusetts, which I'm very thankful for, and especially with everything that I was going through, I'm very thankful for.
So you got your bachelor's.
Bachelor's degree, yeah.
In
musical theater.
And you did study dance and everything. Mm-hmm. How did you, so, and then how did you were like, okay, I'm going to become a dancer in a professional dance company? And you're so good in your chair. Like, you're so technically skilled and good.
Yeah, and I...
Like, was it here that then you got, like...
Like, really good? Yeah. That, like, pushed forward? I really do credit, like where I am now to being... throwing myself into class, like, as the only... person in a wheelchair and just trying to like keep up with like able-bodied people. I think like starting that way, like I think just set me up with a really great foundation, because it's so interesting. Someone was saying, I bet you'd be a great choreographer, because really all you do all day long is choreograph.
Yeah.
Because you're given choreography and then you have to make a new version that works for you in a way. And so that was kind of me before I came to dancing wheels. All I ever did was just throw myself in with everyone else despite the wheelchair and just tried to pick up as much as I could and tried to figure out stuff for myself and having to adapt everything on the spot, especially in auditions and stuff like that, like a dance call or something.
So at the college, there was nobody who was...
There was no one
like
in a wheelchair.
Here.
Yeah.
There was nobody like saying, "Oh, we can do translate this into this movement and that movement." You did
yeah,
it yourself.
Yeah. So it was like everything I was doing for myself, and I think having to do that for myself, I now have such like a solid foundation to come here and then absorb like a technique.
Yeah.
Because that's basically the big difference. It was like I was keeping up with people and doing everything I could, but the only downside to that is that I'd be in classes and, you know, teachers would be like, oh, like, do whatever feels, like, comfortable for you. Like, do whatever works for you. I heard that phrase a lot. And, which is good. I understand what they mean. They're like, obviously, what I'm saying, like, you can't do, so just do whatever you can do.
And I cannot help you.
Yeah, but that's also what it implies. It implies that... Yeah, I you know, do what works for you, and like I can't take time out of class every day to like show you something. But that's not to say that the people and my professors weren't giving me notes.
Yeah.
They weren't giving me corrections. They were giving me, you know, I was getting critiqued on like my posture and just areas in which they could give me critiques, you know, give me notes on my port-a-pride.
Yeah.
Everything that I did have and I was doing, they would give me notes and corrections. It's just, I feel like there's, like, so much that they can do, and they were doing everything that they could, but didn't have, like, an arsenal of, like, how do I teach someone in a wheelchair?
Mm-hmm.
Which is just where we are
yeah.
as a society, I think, at least here in the U.S.
Yeah.
And... a little unfortunate.
It is.
That's a whole nother.
And I have to say, I'm very positively surprised how everybody at Dancing Wheels is all the teachers and the choreographer are quite skilled with the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can definitely, I've never seen that before. They
yeah.
can definitely work the chair out better than I've never seen any able-bodied person.
Yeah. You got lucky because Mark Tomasek wrote the guide, so
yeah.
he knows everything, and then he's also choreographing us, so sometimes, you know, we have other choreographers come in.
Well, yeah,
they're not necessarily so adept in the wheelchair, but we make it work. And
what is the in-house choreographer, Catherine
Meredith?
She's also pretty good in chair, right?
Oh yeah,
she's
been
great.
With the company for a few years now, more than a few years, so she's definitely, her wheel technique is up to par.
Yeah, yeah. I do so. And so you are finishing your first year. When is your contract finishing?
My contract is up this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so, and you're not, you're...
Well, I shouldn't say I'm not coming back. Mm-hmm. I'm coming back in a much different way and decided that instead of being a company member, I'd much rather be a guest artist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'll be around. Mm-hmm. I just won't be there every single day. I'll just be there when they need more people. They're working on a larger project.
So you're going to hang out in Cleveland?
Yeah, I'll still be in Cleveland for at least for the foreseeable future.
What are your plans then?
So
what are your hopes and
plans? Yeah, I mean, now that I'm, you know, going more freelance as far as being a dancer, since I've been here, I've been also doing musicals. Like, I, you know, this is my day job at Dancing Reels, and at night I would be in different shows, you know, plays and musicals and things like that. So I'm just hoping to do more musical theater, and if I want to do, you know, there are just opportunities here that, you know, it's that daytime hours, and those are, quite frankly, the better paying and better, higher caliber productions and things like that. A lot of those are happening during the day, so I just want to open myself up for that, and I just want to be open to more opportunities is really what it is. I just kind of got to a point where I felt like musical theater was put on the back burner.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, that's just like where my passion lies. And I love concert dance, and I love dancing, but I realized that when I loved it in college, it was always kind of on the side of musical theater. Like it was just a different creative outlet. And I always think that when you're in a rut in one art form, like the best thing that you can do is go watch or create in another art form.
Of course. So
I'm glad that I just completely focused on like something different for a year. Well, I shouldn't say different. I never thought that I'd be solely focusing on dance. And in that way that I was saying, when you're in a rut, you know, you kind of got to like do something else.
Yeah.
And I feel like me doing this something else this year has really gotten all the cogs like going again. And I have all these, you know, ideas to create. I mean, I wrote a show last year and I, you know, was producing my own work, which is something that in the past year I haven't done. And it took not really being the creator, more just being the person who absorbs, and you're still creating when you're dancing, but you know, taking direction for other people and not being like the person with the ideas and everything and taking a different role. Being like that for the past year has made me realize that I miss it. Like I need it. I need to be creating in my life more than I felt like I was now.
And I think, as a company dancer, that is not so much. I mean, like Mark was saying today, we're in the middle of the Dancing Wheel Summer Intensive. So Mark was saying today how in today's world, choreographers work more of asking the dancers to do the movement through like some scores or tasks or writings or whatever that prompt is. But yeah, it's still not the same than really like starting that idea from the get-go. Yeah. And I can see if you want to do that, how being a dancer is not that.
Yeah. I feel like I came to dance in the Integrated Company was a big reason I did it was because I felt like I didn't have a technique to work off of, and you know, I felt like out of the singing, the dancing, and the acting, my dancing was like my weakest link, and I felt like that was the thing that people were going to worry about most, me trying to audition for musicals, is they were going to be like, oh, this girl in a wheelchair, like, how is she going to dance? Like, but now I go into audition rooms and they look at my resume, they're like, oh, this girl's in a professional company. She must be fine. Like, okay, we can give her a call back. She can clearly dance. She's in a professional company. So it's just not a worry anymore, which is so great. I can't even express how like good it is that's not a worry anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't think I ever came into the company thinking that I would be a professional dancer for the next 10 years. Okay. I don't think that was ever something that I wanted or went into it thinking. But I think in the back of my mind, it was like, oh, you secure a job for as long as you want it. And I knew that. And I think throughout the year, I just kind of decided, no, I don't think it's for me. But it's definitely for other people, and that's great. It's at the end of the day, it wasn't for me.
I can totally see you getting very well employed anywhere in the U.S. as a wheelchair dancer with your amazing skills. So how is the musical theater scene in Cleveland?
Good, great. Especially in the summer. There's a lot of theater happening
in the
summer. We're actually, I don't want to butcher this, but it's, Cleveland has a thing that's, we have the most reach per capita of any other city other than, I think, New York. I think that statistic changes each year. It kind of goes back and forth between Chicago and Cleveland.
Oh, but, okay.
Yeah, we have a huge theater scene, a huge art scene, I should say. There's tons of it everywhere. It's reaching more people here than it is like anywhere else in the country besides New York. So it's a good place to be. It seems like a little, it's a hidden gem, I guess I should say.
Yeah. And how is the integrated musical theater world? Okay, so it doesn't exist.
I mean, there's me rolling around Cleveland. I think there's one other girl that I know who also is in a wheelchair here. I don't know if she's doing it professionally or if it's, she does more on a community level, but I was at one audition with her, so.
Wow.
There's two of us.
In the, do you know, like, is it really, is it, it sounds like it's even worse than in dance.
Oh, there being people in wheelchairs?
Or with people with disabilities.
Oh, yeah, disabilities. You know, it's interesting.
Or is it just not that big, like, I don't know. I'm not in that world at all.
Yeah. I would say there's probably equal amounts of people in dance as there is the musical theater with disabilities. I mean, I'm just guessing. I don't know that for a fact, but it feels that way, at least being in both those communities. I mean, there's me, Tanya, and Mary in Dancing Wheels right now, and as far as I'm aware of, we're the only three professional wheelchair dancers in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, two.
Oh, yeah.
In the city. So,
yeah.
I mean, that I know of. I'm sure there's plenty of other people out there.
Yeah.
If they're listening, they'll be like, there's me. I'm here. I hear you. yeah, but I would say they're both about the same size. It is interesting there are just some things that just don't matter in musical theater as much when you have a disability. And I think that's something that I've kind of had to grapple with this year, is that, you know, the things that mattered in musical theater sometimes don't in dance and vice versa. Like, for example, in dance, there's so much focus on the body and what the body is doing. And that's all the focus is on the body. Whereas when I'm playing a character, like I'm playing someone else and they may or may not have a disability. And the focus, I might be playing a role all about, I might do my one woman show where it's all about my disability. But I also have plenty of opportunities where we don't even talk about the wheelchair. Like I'm playing a character who it's not written as someone who has a disability. I just happen to be playing it and I'm just there. My existence is there, but you know, I do my thing. I translate the choreography they teach me, and there might be a few things the choreographer would be like, oh, like, what do you want me to do here? What do you want me to do here? But it just seems like less of a big deal in a musical theater context. And I think a lot of that has to do with that you're not always being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're playing a character.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely interesting going from just being in the musical theater world to being in the dance world. I just forgot after so many years how much focus there is on the body and taking care of it. And, you know, just the language that dancers use about their diet and the, just like sometimes it just feels like it's very able-bodied centric.
It is.
Mm-hmm. You know, when people are injured and like they're out and they like, or they, you know, can't do this one thing and they're all down about it. It's like, well, I can never do that. Like, you know, it doesn't, I don't know. The language that we use, I guess, surrounding it is very exclusive.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And yeah. It's funny to hear that even happens in an integrated dance company.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Like, there's just a lot of focus on the body, which was not something I was used to with musical theater.
I see.
And I don't think that it being an integrated company, like, changes things. You know, like, there's...
So there is the macro culture and then the micro culture.
Yeah.
And, well, I'm sad to hear that because I wanted to hear that everybody is very thoughtful around this issue in an integrated dance company. But I guess the culture where the dancers come from is still very traditional.
That's exactly it. It's that it's still ingrained in them.
Yeah.
And it's just not something that they're always conscious of.
Yeah. It's not an insult, but just not being aware.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, what has been the best thing about Dancing Wheels?
I think for me, the best thing, well, there's two good things. There's feel like I have a technique to work off of. Because there's only so much you can do when you're just following everybody and trying to adapt it in your head as opposed to, okay, this is their tendu, this is my tendu, and having a second language that's already up in my brain when I'm in a class, you know. They say tendu, I know what I'm doing. They say plié, I know what I'm doing. Just having that vocabulary and the wheelchair adaptation or translation, and it just having that's been so great and the best thing that I've been able to pick up. But also, yeah. Like, I can't not acknowledge the fact that, like, I've been able to teach a little bit, and when we do lecture performances, like, sometimes we perform for children, especially performing for children in a wheelchair, and especially, like, when they talk to you afterwards, and you just realize how much of an impact just that small little performance they just made to that person, like just seeing themselves represented on stage. I mean, I can't imagine. I've only been in a wheelchair for 3 years, but I can't imagine being young and disabled and like seeing something like that.
Yeah. How much do you do outreach or education work outside of the studio?
Or inside, either.
Does all of you teach at some point, or just some of you?
Well, teach, like, we run, like, a assemblies kind of thing.
What is that? Like, what does that mean? I don't know.
So, we'll have a program that we showcase a few pieces, but also we talk in between and talk about how we translate and what do we do if someone is deaf or hard of hearing, or how do we teach a blind person how to dance, and things like that.
And those happen at schools?
They happen at schools, colleges, all over the place.
Community centers, yeah, wherever. Okay, cool. And then does Dancing Wheels have weekly classes as well?
Yeah.
Like, is there now a class that you could possibly go to when you leave? Like,
oh, like for me personally? Mm-hmm.
Like, do they offer, like, professional level Saturday morning, Friday morning, 10 o'clock class?
They have their junior company, and then it's really raining.
Wow! That's amazing. I love rain.
the professional company just has their classes 5 days a week in the morning at 10.
Okay, and so would you be able to go? Or are they open? They're not open to public.
I don't know if next year I'll be able to take, maybe because I'm going to be working with them a little bit next year, but I mean, maybe me, I don't know if it it would be open to the public. Anybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm sure if people contacted Mary, she might be willing.